So, and again, the leaves were wonderful. The Blue Ridge was so beautiful. Laura and I literally just had to stop. We had to stopping at every point of interest or every lookout. There are so many lookouts that you that are just spectacular. We finally just had to limit ourselves that we have to drive for a little while. And we're only talking about, we only drove 50 miles up the parkway. So.
Hi, everyone. I'm Stephanie.
And I'm Jeremy.
Authors of Where Should We Camp Next? A 50-state guide to amazing campgrounds and other unique outdoor accommodations.
Almost 12 years ago, we bought a pop-up camper that changed our lives and introduced us to the joys of RV travel.
Join us now as we talk about where to camp, what gear to bring, and the best food to cook.
We will also keep you dialed in to the latest RV innovations from people in the know.
So pull up a chair and join us around the digital campfire.
This is the RV Atlas. Hello, everybody, and welcome to today's episode of the RV Atlas. I'd like to start today's podcast by telling you a little bit of a story about a place that we stayed during our first year of RV life back when we owned the Flagstaff pop-up camper about 12 years ago. One of our first trips in the pop-up camper was all the way out to Asheville, North Carolina. And basically, we went out to Asheville all the time because Stephanie's parents lived there and they still do. And we would always stay at their house, which was great. But after we bought the pop-up camper, we wanted to take the pop-up camper out. We wanted to kind of camp somewhere in the mountains and enjoy being outside a bit more than staying in their house. So we decided to bring the pop-up camper. And I think they were actually a little bit upset at us that we weren't staying in the house. We weren't going to be there the entire time because we had selected a campground that was about 25 minutes away called Mama Gertie's Hideaway. And at that campground, I have one of my most magical little memories of our first year of RV ownership back when we had the pop-up camper. And this memory is very specifically tied to the pop-up camper for me. It's sort of a definitive Jeremy pop-up camper memory. So we were camping at Mama Gertie's and we had a streamside site. So Mama Gertie's is kind of cut into the side of the mountain and the sites go up the side of the mountain. So we had a site that was right on a little stream, a really pretty, beautiful little gurgling stream. And I was able to back the pop-up camper really far back into the site and then pull out the pop-up camper bed over the gurgling stream. So every night, Max and Theo, because there was no Wesley at that time, Max and Theo would sleep on that bed right over the gurgling stream. And it was just a beautiful sound to fall asleep to each night. And then I'll never forget climbing into bed with them once and taking their afternoon nap with them with that stream right below us. It was an absolutely magical moment and just one of those moments that kind of sealed the deal for me and made me realize that I was going to be an RV owner for life. Now, a lot has changed at Mama Gertie's Hideaway over the last 10 years. It was over 10 years ago when we were there. And we did review it on the RV Atlas podcast probably 8 years ago. But it's definitely time for a fresh review of Mama Gertie's Hideaway. And there's no better person to give us that review than Casita Dean May. Casita Dean May was there recently, and I think that he loved Mama Gertie's and the entire Asheville region every bit as much as we did. So we're going to get a fresh review of Mama Gertie's Hideaway in the Blue Ridge Mountains of North Carolina. But before we do that, we have a sponsored message from our friends at Go RVing. Go RVing's website, GoRVing.com, is packed with all of the information you need to decide which RV is right for you. Head over to GoRVing.com and click on the Explore RVs tab to learn more about the typical features and amenities and frequently asked questions about towable RVs like travel trailers and fifth wheels, and motorized RVs like camper vans or Class A or C motorhomes. You will even find information on park model RVs, horse trailers, and ice fish houses. The Explore RVs tab at GoRVing.com breaks down model details for each type of RV, including the size range, average costs, and how many people can sleep in each of those RVs. You can also explore the Compare RV Models feature to see the difference between each model type side by side. The Frequently Asked Questions section utilizes a series of user-friendly icons to quickly show you what features and amenities, like residential kitchens and entertainment centers, are typically available in each type of RV. GoRVing.com's Explore RVs tab is packed with all of the information you need to learn learn more about RVing. To find out more about the different types of RVs or to find a dealer or a campground near you, head on over to GoRVing.com. Welcome back to the show, everybody. I am just incredibly pleased to have Casita Dean May back on the show. It would not be a season of the RV Atlas without several appearances from Casita Dean May. So, Dean, welcome back to the RV Atlas. How are you?
I am doing wonderfully, and I'm excited to be back.
One of the things I love about having you on the show is I'll send you an email or a text and say, Dean, you know, it's time for you to come back on the show. What do you want to do? What do you want to talk about? What do you want to review? And typically you'll respond with about 13 to 22 ideas, basically. And because and you and Laura are traveling a lot right now, right? I mean, you are retired and you guys are getting out there.
Yeah. We just got back from 11 nights on the road with 5 nights at my brother's house for my nephew's wedding. And then we spent 6 days at a state park in Northeast Mississippi and got a chance to get on the Natchez Trace Parkway on the way home. So I've already got ideas for future episodes as well.
All right. Well, after we record this one, we'll chat about that because that sounds really cool too. I also, I'm also kind of realizing that you and Laura, I think, have a somewhat similar camping style to Stephanie and I. Like, you will mooch dock in someone's driveway. You will go to a KOA. You will camp at a state park. I think you just kind of love all of it, don't you?
Right. We pretty much hit it all, I guess. And, I say that I really like the state parks and the National Forest Service and the Army Corps of Engineer parks. But at the end of the year, when I add up our number of days, it's usually a 50-50 split between public campgrounds versus private campgrounds.
Well, for us, it's always been like the thing that comes first is, where do we want to go? Right. Oh, we want to go to the Smokies. Then you look and see what's available. And then we decide where we're staying based on that. Like, I don't have this concept like, oh, we're going to go out on a trip and stay at RV resorts. You know, it all starts with where we want to travel to. And I think you guys are the same way. So today you're going to take us to Mama Gertie's Hideaway. And it's been over a decade since I have camped at Mama Gertie's Hideaway. So I'm really, really excited because I know there's been a lot of changes. All right, Dean, let's get started. So for those that aren't familiar with Western North Carolina and Asheville and the Blue Ridge Mountains, can you get us a little bit situated? Where in the country are we here when we're talking about Mama Gertie's Hideaway?
Mama Gertie's is conveniently located right off of I-40, just east of Asheville there in western North Carolina. You're about 14-15 minutes east of Asheville, about 11 miles, and you're also just west of Black Mountain, which is a cool little town that we'll also talk about. You're about 9 minutes or 6 miles from Black Mountain. And really, when it comes to it, this is a very convenient campground. It's less than 1 mile off of I-40.
I'm excited you'll talk to us a little bit about Asheville and Black Mountain because they're both really, really cool and worth visiting. So this is a beautiful, beautiful part of the country, right?
Right. It is. And I know we'll talk about regional highlights later, but I just would like to point out that this campground, that Mama Gertie's, is located in the heart of the Southern Appalachian Mountains. So you have that very easy access to Asheville. The Blue Ridge Parkway, which is absolutely spectacular. Again, we only got to explore about 50 miles up and 50 miles back. But, that Blue Ridge Parkway connecting the Shenandoah National park with the Great Smoky Mountain National Park is just spectacular. I'm going to make a statement here that I think this area arguably may be one of the best spots in the eastern United States for camping and outdoor recreation.
Now, it's so funny you say this because as we're recording this, I recently recorded an episode with Carrie Cox from Travels with Birdie, which will come out before this one. And she was supposed to go to Western North Carolina in the Blue Ridge Mountains. And at the last second, she decided to ditch the whole trip and go to Colorado. So part of our goal here is to kind of rub it in and make Carrie jealous that this part of the country is pretty amazing too. So let's dive into...
All right, there you go.
Yeah. Let's dive into Mama Gertie's. What type of campground is this? How big is it? Give us all the details.
Okay. Mama Gertie's, it's a private campground and actually relatively small. It has 45 RV sites. One of the things that I would say is most unique about this campground is that, again, you're in Western North Carolina, so you're in the you're in the mountains, is this campground is carved into the side of the mountain. So you basically have three tiers of camping, which is really nice. And you can have like if you want a site in the woods, you're going to get in that lower tier site. If you want to have spectacular views of the surrounding mountains, you want to go all the way up to that top tier. Then there's also there's three bathhouses that more or less would correspond. You have a bathhouse at the bottom, which is the main building. That would go with that sort of first tier of camping. And then that second tier of camping, which also gives you access to some tent sites and some cabins, there's a bathhouse there. And then that very top tier has a bathhouse as well. So, I mean, they've got this set up to make it easy to camp.
So it is a really special and unique place in terms of how beautiful it is. This is not your everyday campground. It gets special marks for the natural beauty of the setting, right?
Oh, I think so. It's definitely, like I said, a beautiful campground that has a lot to offer in a relatively small space. Again, only, 45 sites. And they even have some of the sites that back up to a creek. So if you want that intimate in the woods type of feeling, you can have that. If you want to be on top of the mountain and see the spectacular vistas of the surrounding mountains, you can have that as well.
Now, when we were there over a decade ago, I don't think that top tier of sites existed yet. I think that was added maybe 7 or 8 years ago now. And I think that by adding those sites, they did sort of become a premier destination in Western North Carolina for camping. So how about price range and ease of booking?
Now, we didn't have any trouble booking. You can book online or you can book by phone. You can also book up to 6 months in advance, but you can't book any further in advance than that. We had no trouble just doing an online booking. I kind of checked their website, when we were getting ready for this episode. And again, it's going to vary a little bit depending upon what type of site you're going to get, what tier you're on, what time of the year, that type of thing. But tier one, you're looking at $75 to $85 a night. Tier two, and again, when I say tier, I'm talking tier not in terms of price range, I'm talking tiers in terms of elevation. That second tier site, you're looking at maybe $95 to $105 a night. And that top tier site, depending upon the time of the year, could range from $105 a night to almost $170 a night.
So the prices do go up as you go up the side of the mountain, though, that's for sure.
Right. Generally speaking, that is the case. You can get a 10% Good Sam discount. The other thing I want to point out is that when you make a reservation, you don't make a reservation for an exact site. You make a reservation for a site type. So what they'll do is they'll guarantee you, hey, if you want a pull-through site on tier one, we'll guarantee you that. But you're not reserving the exact site. You're just reserving the tier type.
With campground prices going up, I'm sort of rediscovering the benefits of my Good Sam discount card and my KOA membership. If you're paying $100 a night, getting $10 off is nothing to scoff at. Now, I don't want to be all wistful and sentimental about how things were back when we started camping, but I would be willing to swear that we spent about $35 on our site here 10 years ago.
Right.
And so seeing prices double and triple has been the trajectory these last 10 years. That's for sure. Now, did you book 6 months in advance, though, or did you book closer to the time of your trip?
No, somehow it was a little closer to the time of our trip. Probably I'm guessing we were maybe a couple of months out, but I ended up getting, I've subscribed to so many newsletters and this and that. They were running a special. Their off season goes from November 1st, which is still nice because you're still kind of in peak lease season. So that was really nice. I was a little surprised that their off season starts November 1st and runs through March. And if you booked for 1 week during the off season, we got our site for $45 a night. That's a bargain.
There's always been an advantage to being able to travel in shoulder seasons. I mean, there's always been an advantage, you know, if you're retired or you have a more flexible work schedule or you work remotely, that advantage to me now is incredibly exacerbated because you're seeing, you know, you mentioned $170 a night in Western North Carolina. My goodness, that's not cheap for that region of the country, but that's probably only a price you would see on the 4th of July weekend or maybe in the heart of the summer on a weekend. So you're the price you paid, that's pretty reasonable, right? So it's becoming a more of a dramatic difference between off-season pricing and on-season pricing.
Right. No, I was giddy with excitement at seven nights at Mama Gertie's for $45 a night.
I'm giddy with excitement for you, and I didn't even get to go this time. So other details about the sites, any other information we need to know, what kind of RV sizes they have for sites and everything?
Right. And maybe one general detail that I want to give is that, you know, sometimes Laura and I are a little notorious, but you know, despite our best plan to get to a campground early, Laura and I are notorious for showing up between, say, 4. We want to get there at 3 and we end up there sometime between 4:30 and 6:30. That seems to happen to us. This particular campground, you have to be very careful given that it's carved into the side of a mountain. You have to check in by 5 o'clock during the off season and by 6 o'clock during the high season. They will not let you check in after dark because of the hilly terrain of the campground. So I do want to kind of throw that out for other campers that may be like Laura and I, and we show up 2 hours late. So you'd have to be real careful with that. You can't check in after dark.
Is it almost, and not to be crazy or corny here, is it almost that they don't want you sort of driving over the side of a ridge? From what I remember, it is that way as you go up the side of the mountain. I think they're really probably very concerned for your safety here.
Yeah. And again, I think they're opting on the side of caution with that. You know, given the litigious society that we live in, I wouldn't characterize it as dangerous. Now, if you get up to that top tier and you were to do something absolutely crazy, yeah, that would mean a drop that you would not like. But generally speaking, tier one and tier two, there aren't any cliffs or anything like that. Up on tier three, you are literally on the side of the mountain parallel to it, looking over. It's not a cliff, but it's a very, very, very steep hill. But I think they're just opting to be a little overly cautious there. And I didn't have any problems with it, but that is one of their policies.
Dean, a drop that you would not like, I think that you would become a Facebook meme that would be shared 500,000 times in every Facebook group in the country that's about RVing. That sounds pretty dangerous to me.
Right. But I tell you what, though, those tier three sites up at the top have probably the most epic campsites that I've ever seen.
Totally. And there's pictures on their website.
They're very nice.
I'll link in the show notes to Mama Gertie's website so you can take a look at some of those pictures. So anything else we need to know? Any cabins?
Yeah. I mean, there's other things. I mean, again, they have 45 sites. The vast majority of them, 38 of them are full hookups. They only have 7 that are electric and water only. Now, the one thing that you may want to note, though, of those 7, 4 of those back up to a creek with a really, really pretty view. So depending upon your needs, you can get a great view of the creek, a little less expensive since it's electric and water only. Most of the sites, 2/3 of them have 50 amp service. The rest have at least 30 amp service. Most of the sites are pull through. So that's really nice, particularly over half of the sites. Tier one is primarily pull through sites. That's where Laura and I were. But they also have 5 cabins and they also have 6 tent sites.
Now, did you choose tier one because you wanted a pull through for easy in, easy out, or was that the only site you could get?
Well, to be honest with you, we were doing so much camping and they were running such a good special. We kind of did it. We chose tier one because it was only $45 a night if we stayed 7 nights. So we did it more for cost reasons than anything else.
You can always wake up in the morning, grab a cup of coffee, and walk up to the top of the mountain and take in those views. Nothing wrong with trying to save money.
Yeah.
I mean, look, prices are going up. I agree. $45 a night sounds terrific in tier one. Anything else about the sites, or do you want to talk about customer service and Wi-Fi cell service, that kind of thing?
I think we can go ahead and move into to that area. They do have Wi-Fi. Laura and I had no problems in terms of checking email, social media, light surfing. We didn't really try any streaming or anything like that. Cell phone service was fine as well. Like I said, you're only a mile off the interstate. And in terms of customer service, everyone, the folks were very pleasant, very professional. We were there during leaf season. And we were just past peak. So there were, you know, a fair number of leaves hitting the ground. That grounds crew is out constantly keeping the leaves off the roadways and, you know, the little campground loop and that type of thing. So they did a great job.
So any organized activities and recreation, is this a good place to bring kids? Is this a family-friendly campground or maybe not so much?
Well, you know, I kind of have got to be honest there. There are no organized activities, but you are so close and you're in the middle of an outdoor mecca. So they really don't offer that. They also don't have things like a swimming pool because, I mean, it would be very cost prohibitive to put in a swimming pool on the side of the mountain. I guess, you know, they could do something like that. But really, in terms of the amenities of the campground, they have a laundry. You can get your propane tanks topped off. They will deliver firewood to your site. They do have a dog park. They have a small camp store, and they, you know, actually they do have a fitness center or a small, you know, fitness room if you like that. But really, in terms of any other organized activities or recreation, no. Do I consider it a good family campground? The thing is, you can't really bicycle there. If you're bicycling, you're going to be using those brakes coming down the hill, and you're going to be expending some energy going up the hill. It's not even the best campground in the world if you want to go out and take a 30-minute walk. Now, I did it. Laura did it once. I did it a few times. We were down in tier one. I would walk all the way up to tier three, and you're going to get that heart rate up. So it's kind of one of those things, particularly if you're up on tier three, there is an expansive area up there that's flat and the kids could play a little bit and have a great time. But tier one and tier two, the sites are going to be a little tighter because they're primarily pull-through sites. So it depends upon when you say family camping. If you want to spend hours and hours and hours at your site, I would say no. But if you're using this campground to just chill out after a long day of exploring the area, I think it would still be fine for families.
Yeah, I was trying to push you in that direction a little bit because, I mean, our kids were not in any way made to feel unwelcome. But I certainly do remember thinking that it was maybe a better choice for couples than for people with kids. And there are, you know, some KOAs in the area, which I think that you have in your notes and we'll talk about later. So we'll be back in a second. Dean's got some more stuff to talk about with the campground at Mama Gertie's Hideaway. And then he's going to take us out into the Asheville area and beyond and tell us some really cool things to do. But before we do that, we have a sponsored message from our friends at Neighbor. Is your driveway too small for the RV of your dreams? Does your homeowners association not allow you to park your RV on your own property? Are you worried about paying top dollar to leave your RV at a sketchy storage facility? When it comes to finding safe and affordable RV storage, are you feeling totally stuck? Then maybe it's time you gave Neighbor a try. Neighbor.com/RV Atlas can help you find safe, closer, more convenient storage right in your own neighborhood. Stay tuned for a special offer just for our listeners. Neighbor connects you and your neighbors so that you can find affordable RV storage close to your home. You help them earn extra cash while they keep your RV safe at their home. When I use Neighbor to search for storage options near my house, I was surprised to find dozens of affordable options. Neighbor also offers a wide variety of plans so you can choose the right protection that best suits your needs. You'll be able to quickly and easily add a property protection plan while placing a storage reservation. Give your RV a home, not a storage space. Visit neighbor.com/RV Atlas for 50% off your first month of storage with Neighbor. That's neighbor.com/RV Atlas for 50% off your first month of RV storage. Welcome back to the show, everybody. We are here with my great friend, Casita Dean May, who I got to see at the Florida RV Super Show. It was so awesome hanging out with you and Laura, wasn't it?
That's right. Yes, had some good Mexican
at a gas station. It was one of the best meals I've shared with anyone in a long time. It was awesome hanging out with you guys. So we're going to talk a little bit more about Mama Gertie's Hideaway before we head out and talk about Asheville and the area around Asheville. So what do we need to know? What else do they have in terms of just basic amenities?
Right. I think one of the things that I would recommend if you want to go all out, get one and be up at tier three, the sites at the top tier, particularly 33 to 37, they parallel the side of the mountain, and you're just the views are spectacular. They even have a patio with a wooden swing, and you know, they have nice amenities with the sites up there. So if you want to go all out, I would recommend tier three sites 33 to 37. Now, keep in mind, on that top tier, there isn't any shade. So depending upon the time of the year, even though you're in the mountains, it can still get pretty hot and pretty humid in western North Carolina. And I'd also mentioned that they had a few electric and water sites, four of which backed up to a creek, which are much more intimate. Reminds me a little bit of the creek sites at Townsend and at the KOA. I'd recommend site 18 through 21 if you want more of that feel, that intimate site where you're in the woods and you have the babbling creek. And I'd mentioned earlier, given the sort of the geography of the area, you don't really have any swimming, you don't have playgrounds, and if this is your only campground on the trip, I would leave the bicycles at home.
That's such a good tip, because they're such a pain in the neck to bring. And like, you know, if you ever bring bikes and don't use them, it stinks because it's a lot of work. I love bringing my bikes, but it's a good tip not to bring them. And by the way, you're not going to find campgrounds or in the Asheville area that have beautiful pools, at least not when we were going there, you know, 10 years ago, partly because, like what you said, it would be expensive to heat them. And it's mountainous and hilly in a lot of places.
Right.
So any other insider details about Mama Gertie's? Anything else you want to share with our listeners, or do you want to talk about Nobody's Perfect?
I think we covered, you know, some of the points. The only other thing that, you know, I said earlier is we had we really enjoyed our off-season trip there in terms of the pricing. And the interesting thing is, if you're there in real early November, temperatures, now it was a little chilly when we were there. It was in the 50, low to mid 50s by day, upper 20s to low 30s at nighttime. But in terms of a lot of people camp in that area during that time so they can see the fall leaves, and the fall leaves were just absolutely spectacular. So, so you can think about an early November trip, and it's still considered off season, but you're still getting to see the leaves change.
Okay, Dean, I love that, you know, you've been coming on the podcast for a long time, going back to the Campground of the Weekdays, and you always include a Nobody's Perfect, which I love, and we should always remember to do. So clearly you love this campground. It sounds like you and Laura would go back in a heartbeat, but what could be improved?
Right. And again, this is kind of one of those things I'm probably nitpicking a little bit here, but because of the topography of the way it's organized, they do a nice job lighting up the side of the mountain, perhaps maybe a little too nice. Laura and I were in one of those sites that just the site just up the hill from us had a security light. So if you're hoping for a dark sky country in the campground, it's not it. It's in some ways lit up a little too well. If there's anything they could do, I wonder a little bit, rather than having the security like up high, if they could do something more lower along the ground that would blend into the mountainside a little more. But other than that, that's the only nobody's perfect that I could come up with regarding the campground.
Now, I wouldn't call this a nobody's perfect because they can't do anything about it, but I certainly remember hearing loud trains at night. Is that still the case?
Huh. You know what? I do not recall one train while we were there. And, you know, typically that would be something that I would notice, but I heard no trains.
So maybe whatever that railway was that was nearby is not in operation anymore. But if you're sensitive to noises, you might want to look up and see if anybody's mentioning that, because it was pronounced when we were there. So I'm thinking if you didn't hear it, maybe something got shut down nearby.
Right.
So are you ready to head out into the Asheville region? I mean, there's so much to do. There's so much good food. I'm excited to hear what your recommendations are. You ready to go?
Oh, sure. This is going to be the tough part, though, because I kind of feel as if we can do a pretty good job covering the campground. There's nothing I can say in the next X number of minutes, hour, 2 or 3 hours, that would do this area justice. So this is truly just some highlights that Laura and I experienced, but this is by no means did we hit it all. So there is a lot to do. And I mean, you just basically at the top of the list, you have to put Asheville. Asheville as a small city, well, it's not really that small anymore, but Asheville has so much to offer. So one of the things that you can do is just spend a day in Asheville. Laura and I wish we could have spent more time in Asheville, but we were too busy in the outlying area, kind of doing different things, such as Laura did the Biltmore. It was kind of one of those things. I took her to the Biltmore. I dropped her off. And, you know, we travel with our little Maltese Gibbs. I nicknamed him Mr. Gibbs, the Mississippi Maltese. So he was with us, and we didn't make arrangements to have him boarded or anything like that. So I basically spent the day hiking and finding breweries to have a beer or two while Laura spent the day at the Biltmore. But, I mean, the Biltmore is one of the most spectacular mansions in the United States. And you can spend just days at the Biltmore.
So. Yeah, I mean, it's for a lot of people, those are the top two things, right? Downtown Asheville with all of its kind of hip and funky shops and a lot of great independent shops and crafts and beer and bookstores and all that stuff. And then, of course, the Biltmore is hugely popular. But as you mentioned, there's so much more. So how about for the National Park Service fans?
Right. Now, we did we spent one day on the Blue Ridge Parkway. And again, connecting the Shenandoah National Park with the Great Smoky Mountain National Park. I think that's about a 400-mile parkway. Laura and I drove up 50 miles. It took us an entire day to drive 50 miles north and then basically come back. We did take in Mount Mitchell, which is not only the highest point in the state of North Carolina, it's also the highest point east of the Mississippi. Somewhere over 6,600 feet. I think it's pushing 6,700 feet. And you get up to the top of Mount Mitchell, the area there is really more like a Canadian alpine forest than it is the Appalachian Mountains. So you've got enough elevation there. Just a beautiful place to spend some time. We then went a little farther up the parkway, stopped at a little town called Little Switzerland for lunch at the Switzerland Inn Chalet and Restaurant. And then on the way back, we took in we did a hike and did Crabtree Falls. So, and again, the leaves were wonderful. The Blue Ridge was so beautiful. Laura and I literally just had to stop. We had to stopping at every point of interest or every lookout. There are so many lookouts that are just spectacular. We finally just had to limit ourselves that we have to drive for a little while. And we're only talking about, we only drove 50 miles up the parkway. So I would highly recommend spending some time on the Blue Ridge Parkway if you're camping in that area.
And just spending a day meandering, right? I mean, bringing a picnic lunch and, you know, nothing wrong with stopping at all those places, right? I mean, you guys had the right idea, but there's so much more to do and see as well.
Sure. We spent a day at the North Carolina Arboretum, had a great time sort of hiking around and just checking out all of the, the flowers and fauna and beauty that they had there. We also took a little road trip down to Lake Lure, in which I'm going to block on the name of the movie. Oh, Dirty Dancing. Laura's a Patrick Swayze fan and a Dirty Dancing fan. In some of the movie, not most of the movie. Most of the movie was filmed at a different location in Virginia, I believe. But part of the movie was filmed at Lake Lure, so we spent some time there as well.
And then Black Mountain, which is pretty darn close to Mama Gertie's, right? Isn't Black Mountain actually closer to Mama Gertie's than downtown Nashville?
Oh, yes. Yeah, you're probably only looking at maybe 6 miles east on I-40 rather than 14 miles back west to get to Asheville. And Black Mountain is a wonderful place, too. So we went over to Black Mountain. We grabbed lunch at a place called Black Mountain Kitchen and Ale House. You know, we only live an hour north of Nashville. So Nashville hot chicken is there's a lot. If you like your spicy chicken, Nashville's a great place for that. But I noticed on their menu, they did an Indian version of Nashville hot chicken called Calcutta hot chicken. So I would highly recommend the Calcutta hot chicken if you like spicy. So that was nice. They have a small lake in downtown Black Mountain that you can hike around. We took, Gibbs for a walk, and it was a little chilly. So after that, we found a coffee shop. It was called the Drippolator Coffee Shop. Had a nice, which of course, there are more breweries than coffee shops, but there's still more coffee shops in the Asheville area than any place that I've ever seen.
I'm remembering a place called Dynamite Roasters, not in downtown Black Mountain, but near Mama Gertie's. And I hope and pray they're still open.
Yeah, actually, that name is familiar. I always look for an excuse for coffee and beer. So that name is familiar. So we went to some different coffee houses and things. They also have a really interesting retreat. It's called Montreat Village. That's a beautiful, quiet, picturesque place on the edge of Black Mountain. Then when we finished up in Black Mountain, we headed to Old Fort and spent the late afternoon doing a wonderful hike. Old Fort is the next exit just east of Black Mountain. So we hiked Catawba Falls. And we also stopped in later in the afternoon at a place called Old Fort Ride House. Really cool place. It's basically a bicycle shop that includes a brewery. Well, I'm not sure. A brew house and a coffee house. So you have a coffee house on one side, the bike shop in the center, and the brew house on the other side. Now, we'd already had a big lunch and had been doing some other things. So we had coffee and molasses cookies, which I would highly recommend.
This sounds like the quintessential slice of this part of the country. It's about the great outdoors. It's about craft beer. It's about independent roasters. It's about great food. There's just so much to offer here. And look, people from the Northeast have been flooding down to this part of the country and relocating now for 20 years. You mentioned earlier, like, Asheville's not a sleepy little town anymore.
No.
And nor are the towns around it to some degree.
Right.
So how about Pisgah National Forest? That's astonishingly beautiful.
It was beautiful. That's what I did while Laura was at the Biltmore. So Gibbs and I went to the National Forest. We spent some time hiking. I checked out some of the National Forest campgrounds. And then, like I said, I also, after doing a fair amount of hiking, Gibbs and I decided to look for some brew houses. Had a great time at the French Broad River Brewery. They were particularly smitten with Gibbs there. And this, again, you're in Asheville, so you know, a lot of places Laura and I go to, you'll sit outside the brewery or outside the pub, you'll have your dog, and they're very dog friendly. But, you know, this place was, just go ahead and bring the dog, you know, bring Gibbs in. So, you know, Gibbs is inside looking for food on the wooden floor while I'm drinking a beer. I also went to a brewery called Balmari Brewing. I'm probably mispronouncing that. Had on recommendation from a friend, and had a wonderful pressed Cuban sandwich and a beer there.
You're making me so hungry. How about pizza?
Yeah. Now this is really nice. I would highly recommend Athens Pizza. Again, Mama Gertie's is just 1 mile off the interstate. If you go back down the hill, right across, you know, you'll go across the interstate. You're right at the edge of a little, I think it's Swanoa, a little town there, and it's called Athens Pizza. And you can either eat there or just grab some pizza after you've been out all day long and take it back to the campsite. So I'd highly recommend Athens Pizza for takeout back to the campground. And I think the day that we were down at the Arboretum, we ate Mexican at Papa's and Beer Mexican Restaurant. So we enjoyed that as well. But Athens Pizza for taking back to the campground is definitely top notch.
Swananoa, I think, only because I've been there 10 okay. times, right? And there's so many places. Dean, I can't believe how much you packed into this trip. My goodness. How many days were you there? A week? 8 days?
7 days. We were there for, I think, probably checked in on a Saturday and left on a Saturday, or checked in on Sunday, left on a Sunday.
You could write the moon guide for this area. Like you could do the Fodors or the Frommers. All right, we're not done yet, guys. We have a couple more things to talk about. We'll be back in a second with Casita Dean May. Oh, what a terrific review of the region. So many things to do. So many great places to eat. But before we do so, we have a sponsored message from our friends at CampSpot. Let's face it, summers weren't meant to be experienced sitting at a desk or staring at a computer screen. It's time to call time out. CampSpot is here to help. CampSpot is an instant booking platform for camping across North America, featuring over 140,000 campsites. Research and book the best campgrounds, RV parks, cabins, glamping destinations, and more to find your time out. Whether it's your next epic adventure, girls' night out, or family reunion, CampSpot lets you filter your search results by the type of getaway you want. Browse by location, price point, site type, amenities, and more. CampSpot also offers premium inventory, real-time availability, and no membership fees, so that you can find the best sites at the best campgrounds for the best prices. Picture it now. Fresh air in your lungs, cool breeze in your hair, warm hugs in your soul, and that grounded sense of self you'll only find when you spend time out. Book your spring and summer camping trips now. Find your time out. Find your CampSpot at campspot.com. Welcome back to the show, Casita Dean May. Just a couple more things you wanted to mention here, and thank you so much for giving us all these great recommendations. You wanted to just mention that there are other campground options. If you can't book Mama Gertie's, if you need to look elsewhere, maybe you want something a little bit more family friendly with a playground and a pool. So what else? What else is there?
Yeah, I kind of thought, given the uniqueness of this campground, it might not hurt, but the area is so overwhelmingly beautiful that just east of Mama Gertie's on the interstate is the Asheville KOA Holiday. And Laura and I we drove down there, took a little look. And this is, again, if you want the swimming pool and you want those other types of amenities, but you still want to take in the broader area, you could check out the Asheville KOA Holiday. And the other thing I wanted to mention, you know, when Laura was at the Biltmore and I was hiking in the Pisgah National Forest, on recommendation of some other camping friends, they have a number of campgrounds there, but I checked out Lake Powhatan Recreation Area and Campground. They even have one of the loops there that has full hookups inside the National Forest. So again, if you're looking for a family vacation and you want to budget a little better, but you still want those full hookups, I would, if Laura and I were to go back, I would be more than happy to spend a week at Mama Gertie's and then a week at Lake Powhatan at the campground there.
Now, we stayed at that Asheville East KOA, and we did really enjoy it. It is off the side of a busy road, but it wasn't too loud. So if you do want the amenities for the kids, people do tend to really like Asheville East a bit more than the Asheville West, and I think that's still the case. I think that's still kind of remained our top pick over the years. And then also either Davidson River or Davison River in Pisgah National Forest has dry camping right along a gorgeous stream where there's tubing. There's just so much to do and see, and you could spend your life exploring this part of the country, couldn't you?
Sure, I think you could.
So closing thoughts on Mama Gertie's and on the Asheville region of Western North Carolina?
Well, like I said, I would love to go back and spend another week at Mama Gertie's and continue exploring the area. Laura and I are to the point when we go down to Townsend in the next couple of weeks, we're going to hit 300 nights that we've camped in the casita over the last 6 years. We've been to 10 different states. I even keep track of my tow mileage. We will have towed over 25,000 miles. And I can say that there are many, many areas in the 10 states where we've camped that I would love to go back and visit. But how many of those areas would I want to spend the rest of my life? And I would have to say that right now, if Laura and I were to move somewhere else based upon areas that we enjoyed in terms of camping and exploring, it would be the Asheville area. Now, I do need to point out, I'm not the first guy to come to that conclusion. Asheville has grown tremendously and has its share of congestion and those types of things. But that Asheville area is a wonderful area to camp and recreate and explore.
Casita Dean May, I couldn't agree more. And I just want to thank you for all of the great content you've brought to the RV Atlas podcast. And before, when it was the RV Family Travel Atlas podcast, and when we had the Campground of the Week podcast, we just appreciate everything that you bring to the show. And I really hope to have you back again during our 2022 run of the RV Atlas.
Hey, I enjoy being part of the RV Atlas family and look forward to our next time talking.
All right, Gene. See you at the campground.
All right. Bye-bye.
A big thank you for listening to this episode of the RV Atlas, and a big thank you to our sponsors, to Neighbor, the Thetford Corporation, CampSpot, Yogi Bear's Jellystone Park Camp Resorts, RV Snaphead, and Go RVing. To find out more about the topics discussed in this show, head on over to thervatlas.com. And to join the friendliest group of RVers, head on over to the RV Atlas group on Facebook. If you enjoyed this show, please consider leaving us a review over at iTunes. And we'll see you at the campground.